Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, this is part two on our series, How to Talk to Sellers About Creative Financing. And on our last episode, one of our listeners call in, Dustin from California, asking us how we talk to sellers about creative financing. So in that last episode, it's episode 60, we went into dialogue, we role played on how to just pre-screen them and how to start that conversation. And so if you guys haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that. It's so valuable. And I gained so much value myself, Jeff, from just listening to those, to the dialogue, to, the role playing. And I think that you're very good at it. So this episode, I wanted to do a follow up on it, on how you walk the sellers through your offers. So on our last episode, you gathered information, you went through your process, you'll pull comps, and then you'll write offers, and then you give that to your acquisition manager. Your acquisition manager sends that over to them, sends them a text saying, hey, when can we chat? So I don't know if it comes back to you, if maybe there's some questions that your acquisition manager can't answer, and then you have to get on the phone with them, or how that works. But let's go from there.
Okay. So let's set the stage first with what I've already put together and sent them, just so you have an understanding. So I put together an LOI, which is a letter of intent, and I have one sitting in front of me. And we typically make 3 to 4 offers, which I know is a little counterintuitive, as far as I know that there's like 3 option LOIs, or your cash offer, that's it. We always do, most of the offers that we make are 4 options. And the reason that I do it is because I usually give 2 creative financing offers that are similar, but really the difference is in the term. Mm-hmm. So one is usually a 3-year or 4-year term. One will be a 5 to 7-year term. My shorter term is typically my highest price, which, again, totally counterintuitive. So the second one is pretty close in price, maybe a little more as far as a down payment. And in there, what I do is I break down how this is going to work. So I'm just going to read something. Don't worry about numbers or anything. I just want you to understand what I'm sending, okay?
Right.
So what the seller is actually seeing.
Very good.
Okay, so it says option 1. So it's got the property address, and if it's anything other than a single family, what it actually is. Okay, so option 1, owner finance, contract for deed.
Okay.
Purchase price, $268,000. Down payment, $14,000. Monthly payment, $1,450. Principal and interest. And then I have in parentheses, this does not include taxes, which the buyer will pay. This will be an additional $105 per property. This is important when they have a loan and they already have their taxes and insurance escrowed.
Right.
If you noticed, I did not say insurance, because I want the seller to keep paying their insurance. So taxes, though, they're going to actually get reimbursed. So the $1,450, they're going to get $105 more than the $1,450, and I want them to understand that up front.
Right.
Okay? Interest rate, 4%, and then in parentheses I have amortized over 30 years. Term, 36 months. Balloon payment at the end of the term for the remaining balance. The approximate balance at time of payoff will be $235,340. Buyer will pay taxes on the property. I've already covered this, right?
Right.
I cover it again. There's a reason why. With years of feedback, when I get questions and they're constant, the same questions over and over again, there's a reason why I include stuff. So,
right.
So buyer will pay taxes on the property. This is in addition to the principal and interest payment of whatever it is that you offered. Seller will gross. When I say gross, it's any time that there's any debt on the property. And this is what I do, is I take their monthly payment and I times it by the amount of months that we're going to do this for. So in this case, 36. So if their payment was $1,400 times 36 plus the balloon payment, $240,000 or whatever it is, plus the down payment, that's what they will gross on this deal. And I want them to see that because it's more than what they're probably asking for the property,
right,
if they're willing to stay in it. If this property is free and clear, gross becomes net. That's what they will net. Okay. Then I just put buyer will be responsible for all maintenance and repairs. And in this case, because it's a contract for deed, seller will remain on title until the property is paid in full. Deed will be held in escrow. And then I always put when the payments are to begin. So it may be 30 days after closing, it may be 60 days after closing, whatever it is that you want. So based on that information, and every offer is laid out the same, and I know it sounds like a lot. However, this is what I do. I pull a template of, you know, if it's free and clear, I have a free and clear template. It's all filled out. I just have to fill in some blanks.
Okay.
It probably, other than the calculations, to fill this out takes me 4 or 5 minutes. So then I have a second offer. You know, same kind of setup. Most likely it's just the term is longer. Then there may be a third option, and that third option may be like our short-term finance. So similar to cash, but a little bit higher if they'll wait on their money for 6 months or so. We've covered that numerous times in our podcast.
Yeah.
And then a fourth option would be the cash offer.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's how I lay it out. And then I even have, depending on what kind of offer I made. So if it's contract for deed, I will have a description of how contract for deed works.
Okay, can you read that?
Yeah.
I think it's excellent.
So contract for deed is a form of owner financing that involves signing a deed, but the deed is not transferred to the buyer until the entire purchase price is paid in full. It's very similar to buying a car. The buyer owns the car but does not have the title until it is paid in full. The main benefit of doing contract for deed is that it protects the seller in terms of default. In other forms of owner finance, the only recourse the seller has in case of default is to foreclose on the buyer. In contract for deed, foreclosure is one option, but there are several others, including a forfeiture that allows the seller to reclaim the property within 30 to 60 days through a court hearing. Costs far less than a foreclosure, takes less than half the time. Keep in mind, all of the money you receive up front is non-refundable. Therefore, it protects the seller more than a straight rental, as you receive only a security deposit from a tenant. Buyers with significant amounts of money invest in the property tend to take better care of the property and follow through with refinancing the property. And if I was doing all-inclusive, I would talk about how an all-inclusive would work, how we're going to create a new note around an existing note, that they're going to become the bank. This is one of the most common ways of doing owner financing throughout the country, no matter where you are, that kind of thing.
Right.
And then I always have one paragraph that says, you know, most of the time we've presented this, we've not seen the property. So, you know, it's contingent on inspection of the property and title check of the property. I usually also name where I would like to close. Uh-huh. And then obviously my acquisition person's information, contact information.
Very good. And one thing I want to point out, the way you sequence your options, you go, you know, 1 through 4, you go, you start with kind of the highest that they would gross or net.
Yeah. Right? No, normally it will start highest and go to lowest.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, like if we do a subordination, which again, I won't go into that, but sometimes the subordination will be like the third option, and it may be higher than, it may be the highest one, but I always list it as third because to me, it's probably never their number one option.
Right, right.
So I want to catch their attention right away.
Yeah.
Because this is, I mean, this is typically 2.5 pages long. And depending on how many options they have. So I want to catch their attention right away with the first option. And the first option is typically the highest price. Now, the rest of the terms may be a little less appealing, but first thing I want them to see is, hey, I'm offering as much as they're asking or more.
Right.
So I want their interest. I want them to read through it is what I want them to do.
Yeah, yeah. And if they see that price, they're going to.
So let me ask you a question. I know we ran through that pretty quickly, but even if you know nothing about terms, would you at least have an idea based on receiving this, how this would work?
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. You might be like, oh, you know, is this all legal or, you know, how can I do this if I have a mortgage or... But
yeah, and I would say that it answers a lot of questions up front, you know, especially the stuff you put in parentheses. But it states what the term is, what the balloon payment is. It states what the monthly payment is that you'll receive. I mean, you even talk about recourse in case of default. If you're using contract for deed or all-inclusive or wraparound mortgage. So I think, yeah, you're right. You do get a good idea as a seller who's not going to be familiar with, you know, creative financing whatsoever. It is pretty straightforward. And I think that it's very well written because the way you space everything out, you know, it's like double spacing and, you know, the way you separate option one from option two, it's really easy to read.
And that's the goal, is I want it to be simple. At the same time, I don't want it to be too long. I don't want to go into too much detail. But if they're confused, what's the answer?
No.
The answer is no.
No.
I at least want them to have an idea, even if they're totally have no idea how this works. And if they've never seen this before, ever, I at least want them to have like, oh, maybe that could work for me.
Yeah. And I want to add that, you know, we started this series because Dustin asked the question, how do you talk to sellers about creative financing? And one of the best ways is to show them in writing exactly what it looks like. And that's what your letter of intent is. It's line for line, what the payment's going to be, what the term's going to be, who pays for what, and you're showing them so that they have something in front of them. Because you could run through that with a seller on the phone, and they're not going to get it.
Right.
Like, who would, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to get it, so they're going to say no. So one of the best ways you can do this, for all of our listeners out there, is send them offers. Send them a letter of intent like you do, or a formal offer, and saying this is what we can offer you.
If you were just trying to talk through this on the phone when they don't have anything to look through, good luck.
Yeah, you'd be wasting your time.
I mean, they'd be like, okay, what? That's good, but what?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what my acquisition guy will do is he wants them to pull this out and go over it with him together. So, you know, that call might be, hey, I wanted to make sure you got the LOI that we sent with the different offers. Have you had a chance to look it over? Well, yeah, I briefly looked at it. It's like, great. Can we spend a few minutes? I want to answer whatever questions you may have, see if there's a particular option that really makes more sense for you. Well, okay, I was looking at option one and, how would this work or how would that work? And by the way, the questions aren't a lot. Most of the time, it's, I think option one will work or they have a specific one or two questions. And one of the issues that we may want to know, first of all, it's a rental property. I'm not worried about due on sale or can they qualify for a new loan. This was already a rental property. So unless they want to bring that stuff up, there's no need for us to bring it up. If it's an owner-occupant, we want to have that conversation with them, like, okay, what are your plans? Where are you going to go? I just want to make sure I'm not going to put you in a difficult spot that if we do this, that, unless your income can handle this debt, you may have a difficult time qualifying for a new loan, at least for the next 6 to 12 months. Are you planning on going and buying another house? And do you think you could qualify?
Right.
So, and if they say, well, that's what my plan was, but, it doesn't have to be. It's like, well, it's up to you. I don't want to put you in a tough spot. If this works, I would love to try to move forward and get this done for you. If it doesn't, you tell me and we'll either figure out another solution or, we'll figure out that maybe we're not the best fit.
Right. Love it.
So, Trent, my acquisition guy, will go walk through and he'll try to identify, okay, which one kind of makes the most sense for you, and then we'll walk through it with him. So this is how it would work. And here's kind of a key thing that we do that you may or may not do. So right now we're mostly wholesaling. And I think we've talked enough that you can wholesale creative financing deals, right?
Yeah.
We did a whole thing on down payment arbitrage. That's a large part of our business.
Interest arbitrage, right. Payment arbitrage. Yeah.
So one of the things that will happen here is that, so if, let's say that we're dealing with an owner occupant they're like, I need to sell my house right now. It's like, look, obviously, we can't commit right this second. We haven't seen the property yet. We'd love to see what kind of condition. We want to try to get this done. We don't want to waste your time. This is what we feel like we can do based on the information that we've gathered already. However, this is what you need to know. We're not going to be the ones living in your property.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we have a vast network of investors that we work with, and we work with owner occupants that are looking for these types of properties, and we're going to go out and find that person to fit with what we just offered you.
Boom.
Yeah. And the difference is that they're going to pay us, you're not going to pay us. So there's going to be no commissions to you. You're never going to pay us a dime. This is a service we do for free. We get paid by our buyer. We would need 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks to determine if we can find the right fit for you. Are you okay with that? Yes or no? And you'd be surprised how many people, even in this market where things are still very, market's very strong all across the country, they will still do this.
Yeah.
Sometimes when we just did a deal that we made it clear, it's a rental, but we are paying full retail price, and we made it clear. It's like, look, it's not going to work for our buying criteria. However, we feel very confident we can go find you that buyer. You're never going to pay us. If you can give us 30 days, hey, at the end of 30 days, if we don't have a buyer, or you don't like what you've seen from us, fire us. Just terminate us. We'll terminate the contract. We will have spent our time, our money, and our resources doing this. The only thing that you're out is time.
Right.
Does that work for you?
Yes.
That's how we deal with this. And then we'll walk through, and if there's any point in time where Trent, and Trent's fairly new to working with me, so it's only been 2 months, and so he's still learning how to deal with some of this. So if certain issues come up where it's like, I think I know the answer, but I don't really want to say it because I could be wrong, then I get involved. And a lot of times it's, I don't really know, you know, the seller will say, I'm concerned about my tax situation. And great. And my first question is, are you living in the property or have you lived in the property the last 2 out of the last 5 years? If you have, you don't have a tax consequence, right? It's your owner-occupied property.
Right.
If it's been a rental, great. How long have you owned it? Okay, yeah, you are going to have a tax consequence. So let me ask you a question. Are you planning on 1031-ing into another property? No, I really don't want to do that. Okay, then maybe this is your best scenario, because if you just sell it for cash and get cashed out, you're going to have a nice check you're going to have to write to Uncle Sam. At least if we do this, we can spread it out over time. How long would you like to spread it out for? Because I know that you like this 3-year option, but maybe 6, 7, 10 would work better for you.
That is a great question, Jeff. How long do you want to spread out your tax consequence?
Yeah.
I love that.
So part of walking through some of this stuff is just making them feel comfortable. Yeah. And if you're not an expert at it yet, that's fine. I mean, were you an expert when you walked through your first house to estimate the repairs and make an offer?
No.
You know, what happened? You just keep doing it and doing it, and you became more confident.
Right.
Same thing. For some reason, everyone thinks that, like, Jeff's like, he must have majored in mathematics or something. It's like, no.
You're a wizard, Jeff.
I am not.
You're a wizard.
I barely know how to use the calculator. I know how to use, like, the 6, 7 buttons that you need to learn. So I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. Creative finance is like a puzzle. And what you have to do is figure out the different pieces to the puzzle and how they can fit together. And when that starts to click with you, all of a sudden it will open up this whole huge kind of world that you weren't aware of. And what I would tell you is don't try to do it all at once. Practice along with us. We do a ton of different kinds of deal structuring. We have our new YouTube videos where it's more visual kind of stuff. But understand that, focus on like those short-term financing to go along with your cash, because they're easy. And then build up. You know, don't worry about, well, Jeff said you could do subordination, or you know, maybe we should do contract for deed with his simple interest thing. And it's like, no. Slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Learn the basics and then create the foundation and keep building on it.
Yeah, exactly. And I've talked about that before, about if you don't know how to structure any of these offers, just if you're going to make a cash offer, just make the short-term financing offer with it, where the seller gets a down payment and then they get the rest of their money at the end of 6, 7 months, a year. That just write that one other offer.
Yeah.
So, very good, Jeff. I hope that answers your guys' questions about how to talk to sellers. And really, less is more. Less is more, because you don't want to throw a gigantic ball of information at their face.
Well, so. And I don't mean to interrupt you, and I know we're trying to wrap this up, but I can just think of a couple of conversations that I've had recently where one of the sellers told me, I offered him contract for deed and he had a lot of questions. He actually wanted to see the contract for deed paperwork and he dissected it. I mean, like no other I've ever seen. And I said to him, you're just not very comfortable with this, are you? And he's like, you know, Jeff, I trust you, but no, I'm not. And I'm like, so what if we just do trust deed and note? That's what you know. That's what you're comfortable with. And he's like, we could just do that. And I'm like, of course. And so, you know, we went from contract for deed to trust deed and note.
Which is better for you, the buyer.
Yeah, I had another one that, And then these are the kinds of things that come up. And we talked about this particular example on a different episode, but we just did a deal where we're buying a rental on terms and we're paying full, like the best price he's going to get. And we're paying him like 4.5% interest because he wanted above market rate interest.
Okay.
And I'm going to sell it to an investor. And when he found that out, because he thought it was going to be an owner-occupant, because I thought it was going to be an owner-occupant, he came back to me and he said, well, I think I want more interest. And I said, why would you want more interest? He's like, because an investor couldn't get that rate. And I said, I think you're focused on the wrong things here. So you're getting a good interest rate. You're getting a good payment. And now let's talk about all the benefits of selling to another investor as opposed to an owner-occupant. One, you don't have to deal with your tenants. This new owner will. By the way, this person will close in a week. An owner-occupant may take 3-4 weeks. You have another line of defense. They're going to put someone in this property. If they stop paying, that new owner is now responsible to you. If they don't pay, we already told you, we'll get back involved. How many lines of defense do you now have? You have 3.
Yeah.
You told me, let me be clear, you did tell me that one of the biggest issues is that you don't want any problems with this, right?
Right.
Wouldn't it make sense then to have all these lines of defense in place so that you don't have any problems?
Yes.
That's what more of this is about, is working through some of the details rather than, it's not always numbers. It's more about, you know, what about this or what if that happened? And so one of the things that we like to tell them is if we're not in the middle, if we're not the actual buyer, call us. If you have any issue, call us. We'll get back involved. And we would. Because if we just got $25,000 as a down payment, what if we got back involved? Couldn't we now, hey, you already got that 25. We'll take your position, Mr. Seller, and we'll put someone else in that property and you'll continue to make payments.
Right. Yep.
There you go. So working through the details aren't as what you may think they are, at least not always, is that, yes, sometimes it's numbers like, how does this work? Okay, I want a little higher price, or what if you can get me a little more down payment? And down payment may affect some of the other things. And so the goal here is either they choose one option and you're good, let's write it up, or two, they give you feedback in a particular direction and you modify it to try to get it to where they feel comfortable.
Right, right. And I just want to reiterate what you said there. When that seller went over the contract for deed in detail with you, you noticed that he wasn't comfortable with it. So you just said, you're not really comfortable with this, are you? And when they say no, then you pick a different strategy. You pick a different strategy like you did, all-inclusive trust deed, wraparound mortgage.
The way that I work is that I always want to ask a question. I want to figure out a way, how can I ask a question? And so it's always, you're not comfortable, are you?
Yeah.
Or it just seems like you might not be that comfortable. Is that true?
Yeah.
And I want them to tell me, and what if we could do this? Would that make you feel better? And it's sincere. It is actually genuine that I really want to figure out what's best for everyone involved. So I want the seller to be thrilled. I want the buyer to be thrilled. And of course, I want us to be happy. So it's always got to be a win-win-win.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just integrity.
That's the way I want to run my business. And it's a pleasure dealing with people that really like you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. Well, I hope you gained a lot from that. I know we went over a lot. but this is gold. It's such valuable information, especially if you're starting to use creative financing strategies in your business. So I would recommend listening to these two episodes at least a couple times, because we went over so much. And again, like, the dialogue is so critical, and the questions, just the quality of the questions you can ask is enormously valuable. So
can I add one more thing?
Yeah.
When you're talking to a seller, it's like everything else. It's practice. So you want to listen to people that, you know, John Martinez, you know, one of my mentors, Ron LeGrand, all of these people have figured out ways on how to get information and how to give information. And it takes practice.
Yeah.
If this is something that you really want to do, you want to become good at it. How? The art of communication. Being able to kind of control a situation or a conversation and still make everyone feel like they're a big part of that decision-making process.
Yep. Making them feel valued and make them feel like they're being listened to and their concerns are being met.
That's correct. And yep. But don't, if you're newer or it's like, oh, I'm just not very good at that, it takes practice.
Yep. Every time.
Yeah, it really does.
Okay, guys. You can reach us on our hotline if you have any questions about this episode, any episode. If there's a topic you want to hear, there's something you want us to cover. If you want to work with Jeff and his apprenticeship program, if you got any commercial deals out there you're looking at, and you know, you work in another market that we're not in, give us a call, 877-409-8090, 877-409-8090, and you can reach us at, on the web, www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. And I'm going to try to put your LOI, if you'd let me, in show notes.
Okay.
So, till next time, guys, create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.